Welcome to the Creating Your Life podcast. This is day 22, Imagination Exercises, part 2. Last time I mentioned that the mind is a creature of habit. Left to itself, it runs negative programming automatically. And that's why it's important to pay attention to not only what you're thinking, but the influences around you. The mind's habits will continue. You will experience those hamster wheels as long as you don't do something about it. You can see why other people might be interested in making sure you never get clued into this fact. You can control your own mind, your own imagination, and your own reality. Many people in life here, including scientists and politicians, may tell you that you can't take charge, that you are a slave to your biology, that you're a slave to culture, that you're a slave to other things that are outside of yourself. Don't buy into that. You can take charge. It's difficult to break mind habits and to break sometimes the melancholy and despair, but it can be done. One way is to moderate your intake of toxic thoughts. You do that by getting out of toxic environments and away from toxic people. Thoughts, environments, and people who tear you down. Especially family members like my friend Ted with the older brother that I mentioned in an earlier podcast. You get away from people who say, you don't have the ability to live that dream. Or you are cold, heartless, weak, cowardly, stupid, and bad. The tests show that you should try something else. You're better than you think you are, and you can create a better self than you know. So when you are writing your affirmations and doing the 15 times exercise, write a positive and powerful statement. And remember to write it in the present tense. Assume it's happening now. Assume it's already true. You don't write, I will write my affirmations every morning. Instead, you write, I love writing affirmations every morning. You add some emotion to it. You feel it as you visualize it. The subconscious repository loves emotion and pictures, and it stores ideas more quickly when emotions and pictures attach to the ideas. That approach is what opens you up to change. What this really means is you start becoming an end result thinker. Now, to overcome blind spots and achieve extraordinary goals, but becoming an end result thinker means that once you set a goal, then your reticular activating system lets through the information you need to achieve the goal. In other words, if you don't set the goal, the things you may need get screened out. They're not important to you. In other words, the reticular activating system only lets through what you value or see as a threat. When you set a goal, you tell your reticular activating system that you now value anything associated with achieving that goal. This is why you do not wait for the resources first before setting out to achieve a goal. This point is crucial. If you think in terms of having to have the money or the resources first, you are doing it backwards. You set the goal first, then you look for resources to achieve it. Point is to stretch yourself. Set a stretch goal, even one that is a little bit unrealistic, and see how life supports you. Here's an extreme of example from my life. And this happened back in my mid-20s. I play piano. In my college days, I didn't have one, and I couldn't afford to either buy or rent one. And there was a long time there that it stopped me from getting a piano because I thought, or I had this picture, that I could only have a piano if I bought or rented one. I thought I needed the money first. That was completely wrong. Because I assumed I needed the resources first, I didn't even bother setting the goal of getting a piano. But once I had the idea of what it's like to be an end result thinker, not thinking I needed the resources first, I gave it a shot. I began picturing having a piano and looking for a way of getting one that I didn't have to buy or rent. Once I set the goal, I soon had this thought. Hey, you know, there are probably people out there who have a piano and find it a burden. I bet I could offer to store it for them. I could then have a piano at no cost. It would fit my budget. Actually, here's what I decided to do. I started thinking that there are probably people with two pianos, and they would love to have me take one off their hands. That way, they would probably let me keep it for years since they already have a piano. At the time, I managed a convenience store, putting myself through college, and I began asking all of my regular customers who had known me for some of them for years whether they happened to have an extra piano that they would like to have someone store for them. Believe it or not, I asked all my customers this. It only took 2 weeks. An older gentleman who lived nearby said his wife had two pianos and that they had been thinking what to do with them since they needed only one. So I arrived that weekend with a friend in a truck. We walked into this very nice home. One piano was an older black upright Baldwin. The other was an even older but beautifully crafted chickering spinet piano with a top that folded down, turning it into a table. It was lovely. So we started heading toward the upright piano, and the man said, "No, my wife likes the touch of that piano. Please, take the chickering." It was incredible. It was beautiful, wonderful touch, bell-like tone. I had that piano in my home for almost 5 years. Recently, I returned a piano to the original owner that I had been storing in my home for 16 years. So you see, it wasn't a matter of positive thinking. It was a matter of end-result thinking. Thinking differently, not harder. That's it for now. I'll be back tomorrow with your next reminder.